about that when you get to heaven. You're going to see that. Who's waiting for us there? Some of us have more people waiting for us in heaven than we know down here on earth. As you get older, it seems to work that way.
Yeah.
I think of, heaven becomes a more precious place than some of your loved ones. Go ahead. And yet, the sweetest voice of all is the voice of Jesus. In John chapter 17, he talks a little bit about his glory there, that one day we'll see him behold his glory. And it's interesting, at the end of that chapter, he speaks of the fact that he speaks of it as though this is the greatest reward that we as his children can have. Not the crowns of gold and so on, but to see Jesus in all of his glory. And that makes sense, because we spent our whole life here on earth looking at him, loving him, wanting to glorify him through our lives. And then, what satisfaction it will bring us when we see him fully glorified, fully exalted there in heaven. I just want to read something from John chapter 17. There it speaks of, Jesus mentions the world a number of times in that chapter. And when you think that this is a prayer that Jesus is praying as he knows that he will leave his disciples behind. He was in the world for 33 and a half years, and rejected by the world, crucified. Now he's returning back to his Father shortly. He knows that. And he said that he's leaving his followers behind in this world. The world that hated Jesus is where they're going to have to minister. And so he prays so lovingly, prayers of protection, of God keeping them, and God making them a blessing in the world. It says here, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. And he says, Father, the hour is come. And there are places where Jesus said, the hour is not yet. But now he knew. He had finished the work that God had called him to do. And now it was time to offer himself as a sacrifice. And so he says, the hour is now come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This is eternal life, not living forever. This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Take a moment to think about that. Usually when we talk about eternal life, we're talking about living forever and going to heaven. But the real definition of eternal life that we see in the Bible is not a quantity of years of existence, but it's a quality of life. It's a different type of life. It's a life that's much higher than the life that we knew before we came to Christ. This is eternal life, that we might know thee. It's coming into a relationship, a knowledge, an intimate fellowship with God. That's eternal life. People don't understand it that way. And so they ask Jesus to come into their heart. Now their sins are forgiven. Now they're going to live forever in heaven. Let's go tell other people to do the same. But they miss the whole point of what eternal life is all about. Heaven is just the byproduct of it. But the life that God offers to us is Jesus. Life in the Son. And it's so wonderful when God can help us to awaken to that. And all of us have, in some degree, done that. I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work which you gave me to do. I remember, and this is not what I'm going to speak on, but I just want to just call it to your attention briefly. Jesus said he finished the work that God gave him to do. Some of his teaching was about people that started but didn't finish. You know, some people die like unfinished buildings, and that's sad. Because God, who begins a good work in us, wants to finish it. And as we heard, he needs our cooperation. It has to become important to us to do the will of God. And we have to give ourselves to God. And we have to respond to his dealings with us and so on. But God is able to help each one of us to finish the work that he's called us to do. And we ought to have faith for that. And then I was wondering, well, what is the work that God had called Jesus to do? And if you read through the rest of this chapter, you'll see he says, this is what I have done. The work that you called me to do, I finished. Number one, verse 6, I have manifested your name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. That's one thing that he did. He manifested who God is. The Father was revealed through the life of Jesus. And then in verse 8, I have given them your words. That's another part of the work that God had called Jesus to do. And as you go through the chapter, take note of what Jesus said he did. And this is all part of the work that God had called him to do. And if you look at it, you can say, well, this also is part of the work that God has called me to do. God wants people to see Jesus in me. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou hast given me. God wants people, when they see me, when I have a relationship with people, God wants them to see something of who God is, how wonderful Jesus is. And as we allow him to shine through our lives, he wants us to share the word of God with others. Speak words of life to people. Certainly share the gospel, but then with those that know the Lord, to speak words that God gives us to encourage and build one another up. And so, I just want to just take a moment yet to call attention to the things that he said about the world. Verse 5 again. I have manifested, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory I had with thee before the world was. And I showed them who you are, manifested your name to those that you gave me out of the world. And then he goes on here in verse 7, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. I have given them the words which you gave me. They've received them, and they know surely that I came out from thee, and they believe that thou sent me. He says, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world right now. He said, I'm just praying for those that you gave me that have come out of the world. How did they come out of the world? They came into Christ. That's the only way. And he says, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. And I am no more in the world now. But these are left behind. These are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. So here's Jesus' prayer for his disciples that he's leaving behind. And he prays, first of all, Lord, keep them. You protect them, and you keep them close. And you keep them following. Don't let them be led astray. Don't let them be touched by the world. Don't let their hearts be defiled. And so he says, Lord, keep them. And he says, and help them to be one. You know, we're living in a hostile environment, and we get enough misunderstanding and hurt and coldness from the world. The Church of Jesus Christ ought to be different, ought to be love among us. There'll be misunderstandings. But if we love one another, we love the same Jesus, that brings us together, that helps us to overcome those differences. And we need to take that very seriously. You know, it's a shame when churches divide. And what kind of testimony is that to the world? You want us to follow Jesus? You people can't even get along with each other. You know, and it really does turn people off. And you got to work on that. And we have to ask the Lord, Lord, fill me with your love for my brethren. And where there are misunderstandings, help me to pray for them. Help me to talk to them and work things out. And just keep them in unity of the Spirit. And then while I was with them in the world, I kept them through thy name. And then he goes on and says that I haven't lost any of them except Judas Iscariot, right? The scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 13, I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but you should keep them from the evil. That's what we talked about this week. Remember that the illustration of the surfer with the shark in the wave? You know, we're in the world, but there's an evil that is always trying to drag us down. And God can keep us from that evil. He can keep us from being touched by the world. And our love for Jesus won't grow cold. That we won't wander from him and his will. And then he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How we have to stay close to the word of God and keep it in our hearts. Don't neglect the word of God. Don't neglect time alone with God. I find that in my own life, that when I neglect to spend time with God the way God wants me to, or I've neglected to really take time with his word, I feel the pull of the world much more strongly. I feel temptations and struggles. And I thought about that. I thought, Lord, I thought I had the victory over this thing. Why is this bothering me again? And it seems, well, because you've lightened up on your connection. You can only have victory. You can only be kept as you allow me to keep you. And maintaining your walk with God keeps us from being overcome by the influence that the world exerts over us. And so the victories that Jesus gives us are maintained as we maintain our walk with him. And when we neglect our walk with him, we find that the world begins to feel stronger in our lives. And so Jesus here is praying that God will keep us close to himself. And I don't want to go through the whole, I mean, time now, but I like this here that it says. It says, I don't only pray for them, verse 20, but now he's praying for us. Mm-hmm. All those that will believe on me through their name, right? Through their word. Jesus is looking into the future. He's knowing there are many more that are going to come to him. I just want to say this. I love that parable where Jesus spoke about the man that found the treasure in the field or the pearl of great price. And we've spoken about this many times, that God looked at the world. And the field is the world, Jesus said. And he saw a treasure. He saw that among those people in the world, not all of them, not most of them, but there would be those that would be willing to come out of the world and give their lives to Christ and glorify him and build up his kingdom rather than that of the enemy. And that was so precious to him that he gave up everything to come down and to find that treasure and to claim that treasure for himself. And of course, that's the church. That's us. We're a precious treasure to him in the world. We have great value. And he continues his work through us. And then the last thing here, which I mentioned before, verse 24, Father, I will. I desire that they also whom you've given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me before the foundation of the world. here Jesus twice already mentions that he had already come down from heaven to earth. He wasn't created. He wasn't, the baby was born on Christmas, but Christ, he's eternal. And now he's going back to his place there in eternity. And he says, Father, I'm longing for the day when you're going to bring us back together. That seems to imply that even though we have the Holy Spirit and he makes Jesus real to us here on earth, that somehow when we get to heaven, it's going to be even better than we could ever imagine. Miss Young, Pearl Young, was a missionary to Taiwan, very godly woman. She came on the grounds once, and a friend of mine said, I knew that woman had come on the grounds, and I didn't see her. You could just feel God had somehow drawn closer. She walked with God. And Pearl Young said, I am always conscious of the presence of Jesus. Now, maybe you're not always conscious of the presence of Jesus. Someone said, I know he's with me, the word says he is, but I don't always feel him. But she says, I have come into a relationship with Christ where I am always conscious of his presence. And she said, but I know that when I get to heaven, as glorious as it is to walk with Jesus like that here, it's going to be a million times better. And so, what greater reward? We're living to glorify Jesus on earth. The greatest reward we can have is to see him in all his glory when we get to heaven. And I'm so glad that God has given us a little help along those lines to help us on our journey. I'm so glad that we can do it together. Okay, number 74. And then we'll wind things up.
Lord, I am waiting at thy feet. Thy consecration is complete. Nothing from thee.
Spirit of God,
for us. But it sort of felt like we were running a cruise ship, you know. We had entertainment, games, and preaching as well. And I was tired before he came up, but I remember the day before we were getting ready to go to camp, and I was so exhausted. I thought, we got to pack, got to get those suitcases on top of the car, and then we get to camp, we got to get them down. Well, now today we got to put them up, and then we got to get them down again. You know how that is. You're a vacation from your vacation. But then I couldn't breathe on top of it. My sinuses were closed throughout the week. Now I can breathe. That's good. Get some oxygen. That'll help. But, and you know, sometimes, I don't know, maybe I didn't say everything the way exactly I wanted to say it, but I trust the Lord helped some here, and there was something that you can take home with you that He'll use to help you to love and serve Him better. Got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Yeah, He's the only one that will never fail us. And we want to pray before we leave, and then Sister Mary's flying to Zion. She lives in Zion, Illinois. So we're going to sing a verse or two of we're marching to Zion. But let's just pray together, yeah. And Sister Lily, you can pray. Sister Wife, Lily, you can pray.
We thank you for this time we've been able to be together at camp. We thank you for all that you've done for us, God. And we thank you for what you've done that we cannot yet see. We praise you for it. We pray that you'll keep and over us as we go, cover us with your precious blood as we travel, and bring us back together again.
Yes. Amen.
God bless you all. Wonderful to be with you. wonderful day. I know some have to finish up some work before they get home. And people that are going home with us need to pack, get that stuff soon. So thank you for one more time together.